I'm Dan Hughes in the Old Time Radio Corner. Before Tom Swift, before the Hardy Boys, before Jack Armstrong, Frank Merriwell was the original All-American Boy. An athlete, a detective, a gentleman, and a Yale scholar, Merriwell first appeared in a juvenile magazine called Tip Top Weekly in 1896. Frank Merriwell's creator, Gilbert Patton, who wrote under the pen name Bert L. Standish, said that each part of his young hero's name had a special meaning. Frank, for his frankness, Merry, for his good humor, and Well, for his healthy lifestyle. Frank Merriwell's sports at Yale included baseball, basketball, football, track, and crew. Gilbert Patton is one of the most prolific authors of all time. Under various pen names, he wrote a 20,000-word book every week for 20 years, and over 500 million copies of his books are in print. Over the years, Frank Merriwell has appeared in 986 magazine issues, 245 dime novels, and in Big Little books, comic books, a movie serial, and on the radio. In the early part of the 20th century, Frank Merriwell books outsold the Bible. Frank Merriwell's first radio appearance was brief, a 15-minute serial that aired for just 3 months in the spring of 1934. 12 years later, he was back on the air, this time with a weekly half-hour show on NBC. It ran from 1946 to 1949. Frank Merriwell was played by Lawson Zerbe, Elaine Rostis was Inza, and Harold Studer played Frank's friend Bart. This episode, sold at auction, originally aired on July 24, 1948.
Hand over that samovar, and don't raise your voice.
You can't do that,
lady. Lady, this is a gun. I wouldn't argue with it. Hand over that thing and make it fast.
All right. Here.
That's better. That's all I want.
Help! Help! Stop! Please! Help! With only Frank and Bart. Help! Frank! Oh, but it's too late.
What happened? You're not hurt, are you?
The samovar. A man held me up and stole it at the point of a gun.
NBC presents The Adventures of Frank Merriwell. There it is, an echo of the past. An exciting past. A romantic past. The era of the horse and carriage, gaslit streets, and free-for-all football games. The era of one of the most beloved figures in American fiction, Frank Merriwell. Merriwell is loved as much today as ever he was. And so the National Broadcasting Company brings him to radio in a new series of stories based on the famous books written by Gilbert Patton under the pen name Bert L. Standish. Today, sold at auction. Frank and Bart, spending their summer vacation at Atlantic City, have accompanied Inza Burridge on a duty call at a stately old home in the most fashionable section of the resort city. As our story opens, the three young people are being greeted by their hostess.
Oh, Inza, my dear, it was sweet of you to drop in and bring these two nice young gentlemen.
We'll only stay a minute or two, Miss Whitfield.
Yes, Mr. Hodge and I have to report back to the beach. We're working as lifeguards for the
really?
Summer.
Really? How exciting. Oh, dear me, you must forgive the awful confusion here. I'm having the place redecorated, and everything is topsy-turvy.
Oh, really? Who's your decorator, Miss Whitfield? Aunt Bella's been looking for a good one.
Oh, he's marvelous. But everything must be just so. If it doesn't fit in with his scheme, out it goes. I'm going to have to dispose of some of my best pieces.
Oh, I doubt if your Aunt Bella would take very kindly to that. And...
no, she wouldn't. Oh, but he's worth it, really. His name is Allenby, by the way. You may have heard of him.
Oh, it seems to me I have. He has a shop on Atlantic Avenue, hasn't he?
But yes. Oh, aren't you clever to remember?
I beg your pardon, Miss Whitfield.
Oh, yes, Robert?
Mr. Allenby would like to discuss the list with you, madam.
Oh, yes, yes, the list. Ask him to come in, Robert. And now you'll meet him, my dear.
I am in, Miss Whitfield. I'm anxious to get this matter settled once and for all.
Well, so am I, Mr. Allenby, believe me. My brother will be back from Chicago in a day or two, and I want everything finished by then, if possible.
Everything will be finished today, if you will just approve this list. I want to leave on a fishing trip tomorrow.
Oh, by the way, Mr. Allenby, I'd like you to meet some young friends of mine. Miss Burridge, and Mr. Merriwell, and Mr. Hodge.
How do you do? How do you do? Now, Miss Whitfield, about the list, will you glance over it?
Oh, yes, the list. These are the things Mr. Allenby wants me to dispose of.
A horrible conglomeration of monstrosities.
Well, let me see it. The china lamp, The what not? The bamboo curtains and... Oh, dear, no, not the samovar, Mr. Allenby.
It must go, Miss Whitfield. It is definitely a jarring note in the room.
Oh, I suppose so. Well, I hope my brother approves. He always seems so fond of that samovar.
I am sure that if your brother has even a modicum of good taste, he will approve.
Oh, you're right, of course. Very well, Mr. Allenby, you may dispose of all those things.
I knew you'd see it my way. Robert.
Yes, sir.
Collect these things at once. I've arranged for a jobber to come take them away this afternoon.
Very good, sir.
He'll pay you well for them, Miss Whitfield, I'm sure.
Oh, I wasn't worried about that. It's just that, I'm sure my brother will understand. Now, Robert.
Yes, madam?
Will you serve tea here in the drawing room? I mean, when you have finished with Mr. Allenby.
Filthy, your expression. I never should have made you embark on that duty call with me yesterday.
Oh, that's all right, Ensign. We didn't mind.
At least she served pretty good food. She's certainly a flighty old girl, though.
But she's really very nice, Bart. An old friend of Aunt Belle. That's why I thought it would be nice to call on her.
Well, she appreciated it, too, in spite of her decorating problems.
Speaking of Miss Whitfield, here she comes in a rolling chair.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, she's seated. Hello, Miss Whitfield.
Oh, it's so nice, dear. And Frank and Bart. Why, how nice. You may stop the chair here, please.
Oh, where are you bound, Miss Whitfield?
Oh, my dear boy, I'm so distressed, I hardly know what to do. Douglas, my brother, you know, he telephoned last night from Chicago. I told him about the things that I had let Mr. Allenby sell yesterday.
Well, surely he didn't mind.
Oh, but yes, he did. Now, not about most of the things, but he was terribly upset about the samovar.
Samovar? Was it so valuable?
Well, not in itself, no. Oh, but perhaps I should explain. Douglas is a stamp collector, really a fanatic on the subject.
What has that to do with the samovar?
Well, I'm coming to that. When he heard about the samovar, he flew into a rage. My dear, such language. And over the telephone, too. Well, what will the company think of us? You see, it turns out there was a sort of false bottom in the thing. The samovar, I mean. And Douglas used it to keep some very valuable stamps in. He says they were worth a fortune, but you know how Douglas exaggerates.
Oh, I understand.
Well, now he wants the samovar returned at all costs, and I'm at my wit's end.
Well, why don't you ask Mr. Allenby, Miss Whitley?
I wish I could, but he left early this morning on a fishing trip, and he isn't expected back until, oh, well, goodness knows when.
Mm, that's too bad. Isn't there any way to trace it?
How about a detective?
Oh, I did hire a detective.
Well, then you'll have to give him a little time to find it.
You don't understand. He already has found it. He located it at one of those auction galleries that they have all over the boardwalk.
An auction gallery? Which one?
Well, the Harbor Auction Gallery, I believe it's called.
Oh, I know the place, Frank. Just above Virginia Avenue.
And is that where you're bound now?
Yes, but I dread it so. The detective thinks I may have to bid for it in open auction.
Oh, I wouldn't let that worry you, Miss Whitfield. You can probably get it back without bidding very high.
Oh, it isn't that. The money's no object. I've come prepared to pay as high as $500.
What is it then?
Well, you think I'm a goose, I know, but it's the auction itself. Everyone will think I'm crazy if I try to buy back my own property. They'll laugh at me. I just know it. Honestly, I dread the thought. Why, I'd almost rather steal it back than bid for it at auction.
Is that all? I'd be glad to do it for you, Miss Whitfield.
What? Oh, my dear. Would you? Oh, but I shouldn't impose on you like that.
Impose? I love auctions. You can ask Frank and Bart.
Well, that's true enough. We've had quite a struggle keeping her out of the galleries this long.
Oh, then you will.
Oh, just give me the chance.
Here. Let me find the money in my purse. Oh, you're a dear to do this for me.
We'll speak to the auctioneer first, Miss Whitfield. Maybe we can get it back for you without bidding.
Oh, well, handle it any way you like. I don't care what you have to pay for it as long as it's back before Douglas returns. Here is the money, my dear. $500. Take it.
Thank you, Miss Whitfield. We'll do our best to recover the samovar for you.
The samovar, huh? Uh-huh. Is this the piece you mean?
Well, how about it, Enzo? Do you recognize it?
Yes, that's the one. Can we buy it back from you, Mr. Benson?
Well, sure you can, ma'am. Just take your place in the crowd.
Oh, no. The lady means can we buy it directly without bidding?
You see, it belongs to a friend of ours. It was sold by mistake.
Oh, I'm sorry, gents, but I can't do that. Everything here has to be sold at auction. Now, if you'll just take your places, I'll get the bidding underway.
I guess we have to do as he says, Frank.
I'll tell you what, though, lady. I'll put this piece up first so you won't have to wait around so long.
Oh, thank you. I'd appreciate that.
Confidentially, you won't have any trouble. This won't bring more than $10 or $15 tops. Now, excuse me, folks. I'll start the auction.
Oh, it's too bad he wouldn't sell it outright.
Oh, well, as long as we can get it for under $25.
Here we go, Enzo. Get ready to bid.
All right, all right. All right. Now, folks, welcome to the Harbor Auction Gallery. First item, number one on your list, is this fine copper samovar. Can everyone see it? Ah, good, good, good. This is a fine example of contemporary copper work. Now, do I hear any bids?
Go ahead, Enzo.
$10.
Lady bids, $10.
$11.
How do you like that competition?
$11 bid. Any others?
$15.
Lady says $15.
$16.
Oh. I hear $16.
Who is that man, Frank?
There he is over there. Probably a dealer, but I doubt if he'll go very high.
$16.
$25.
What?
The lady says $25.
$26.
$50.
What? That'll scare him off, I'll bet.
$50. Once. $50. Twice.
$51.
This is ridiculous. I'll stop him once and for all.
$200. Pardon me, lady. Would you repeat that bid?
I said $200.
That's what I thought. $200 once. $200 twice. Any more bids? Sold to the lady for $200.
What an auction. You really stopped him with that $200 bid, Enzo.
Well, I hated to do it, but I certainly didn't want to take a chance on losing the samovar.
Well, from everything Miss Whitfield said, I don't think she'll mind, Enzo. After all, she was willing to go as high as $500.
Just the same, I'd like to have shown her I could get it back cheaply. If it hadn't been for that awful little man.
Yes, who do you suppose he was, Frank?
Oh, I wish I knew. He was in quite a sweat to get the samovar, obviously.
Well, as you said at the gallery, he was probably a dealer of some sort. Well, doesn't matter now. Oh, look, Frank, you and Bart needn't come all the way back with me. I know you have to report for work.
Yes, and we'll have to hurry to make it, too.
Are you sure you don't want us to go with you while you deliver that?
No need for that, Frank. I'll hire a rolling chair and be there in no time at all.
All right, just as you like. We'll turn off here then, Bart. So long, Enzo.
We'll see you this evening. Let us know how you make out.
I will. Bye.
Miss.
Someone calling me?
Over here at the entrance of this alley, I have some information for you.
For me? Well, what is it?
This.
You're mad.
Hand over that samovar and don't raise your voice.
Oh, you can't do that, right?
Lady, this is a gun. I wouldn't argue with it. Hand over that thing and make it fast.
All right. Here.
That's better. That's all I want.
Help! Help! Stop me! Help! Wait for me, Frank and Bart, but help!
Inside!
Frank! Oh, it's too late.
What happened, Enzo? You're not hurt, are you?
The samovar. A man held me up and stole it at the point of a gun.
Quick, which way did he go?
Oh, it's no use, Frank. He got away through this alley. You could never catch him
now.
Did
you get a good look at him?
No, he was wearing a handkerchief over his face, but I think I recognized him by his suit.
Who was it?
I'm not positive, but it looked like the man who was bidding against me at the auction.
Of course, he's a logical one.
But what's the use? We could never catch him now.
Maybe we can. Come on.
Where are you going?
Back to the Harbor Auction Gallery. I'm sorry to bother you again, Mr. Benson, but this is important.
Well, it's all right, folks. I just finished the sale. What's on your mind now?
Well, it's about that samovar, Mr. Benson.
Well, don't tell me you've changed your mind again. We don't take anything back once it's sold. It's the rule.
We don't want you to take it back. We haven't even got it.
What then?
It was stolen shortly after we left your place, Mr. Benson. We need your help.
Stolen? Say, that's tough luck. And after you paid so much for it, too. Well, what can I do about it? I'm not a policeman.
Well, we're interested in identifying someone who was bidding against us during the auction.
Well, you only had one bidder against you.
Exactly. Do you know him, where he lives, his name, anything at all about him?
Yeah, sure, I know him. Well, what's he got to do with this case? The lady outbid him, didn't she?
Well, never mind that right now. Just believe me, it's important. Who is he?
Well, his name's Hibbs. I don't know his first name. He's a rival of mine, in a manner of speaking.
Rival? You mean an auctioneer?
Yes. Hibbs runs a small gallery over on Atlantic Avenue, right next to the Graham Theater.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mr. Benson. You've been a great help.
Just a minute, young fellow. What's this all about? What's Hibbs got to do with it?
It has something to do with that samovar. That's all I can tell you.
No, wait. Don't run off yet. What's going on here? Something mighty peculiar, I'll bet.
What makes you think that?
Well, because everybody's so all-fired anxious to get their hands on the samovar. Not worth over $10, and yet this lady bids $200 and then has it stolen from her. This doesn't make sense.
It was sold originally by mistake. That's all I can tell you. Except that we're going to get it back, and we're going to start right now. Yes, folks, what can I...
Oh, hello.
Is that the man, Enzo?
Yes, Frank, it's serious. He's the one who took it.
I beg your pardon.
Don't waste our time, Mr. Hibbs. We want that samovar.
What are you talking about?
Oh, don't stall, Hibbs. The one you were bidding for at the Harbor Gallery this morning.
And don't deny that. We all saw you there.
Of course I was there. And of course I was bidding. Is that some kind of a crime?
No, but stealing is.
I don't follow you. All I know about the samovar is that this young lady outbid me with some sort of outlandish price and took the thing away.
Not quite all, Hibbs. You followed her and held her up at the point of a gun. You have the samovar now. Where is it?
This is outrageous. I could have you arrested for an accusation like that, sir.
Try it, Hibbs. A policeman is the last person in the world you want to see right now.
Get out of my shop, all of you.
Not until you hand over that samovar.
I'll do nothing of the kind. I mean, I haven't got it.
Very well, then we'll go.
That's better.
To the nearest police station, I mean. We're going to swear out a warrant and have your shop searched. When we find the samovar, you'll be arrested for robbery. Come on, Bart, Hinsa.
No. No, wait.
Yes?
If I did take it, would I have to go to jail?
That will depend on the lady who owns it, Miss Whitfield. If you make a clean breast of it, the chances are she will not press charges, but I can't promise you anything.
I see. Well, you're right. I do have it.
I thought so.
I wanted it so badly. I lost my head. You must understand.
Save the story for later, Hibbs. Right now, we're only in the samovar. Where is it?
Right here behind the counter. I'll get it.
Watch him, Bike.
I will.
Here you are, gentlemen.
That's it, Frank.
I'll take care of that. Now, Hibbs, come along with us.
To the police station?
To Miss Whitfield's house. You have a lot of explaining to do, and I want you to explain to her. Now, get moving.
Oh, good afternoon, sir.
We'd like to see Miss Whitfield. Is she in? It's very important.
Certainly, Mr. Merriwell. Oh, you found the samovar. If I may say so, sir, congratulations.
Thank you, Roberts. After you, Inza.
Begging your pardon, sir, but who is this gentleman?
Oh, this is Mr. Hibbs, Roberts, the man who stole the samovar.
Stole it? Oh, dear me.
We'll explain to Miss Whitfield.
Of course, sir. She'll be immensely relieved about this. Means a great deal to her to recover those stamps.
So it seems. Are the stamps really so valuable?
Oh, yes, indeed, sir. I should say so. Oh, their value could hardly be exaggerated.
What kind of stamps are they?
There were 6 Cape of Good Hope 1861 Fourpenny Reds with a printing error.
How much would they be worth?
Oh, at least 5,000 apiece, sir. But any stamp collector would give his right arm to possess the collection.
That's at least $30,000. That's a lot of money.
No wonder Miss Whitfield's brother was so upset.
And no wonder our friend Hibbs here risked his neck to get them.
I didn't know a thing about this, I swear it.
Robert, who is that in the hall? Oh, why?
My dear, you're back.
We had the samovar at last, Miss Whitfield.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Did you have much trouble?
I wouldn't say it had been easy.
Oh, thank you so much. I can't wait to see if the stamps are safe. Here, let me stand it on this table so that I can open the false bottom. Now, let me see. How did Douglas say it worked? Oh, yes, this way. Frank, look.
Empty.
Oh, dear me. Oh, I never dreamt this would happen. The stamps are gone. Oh, Douglas will be furious.
All right, Hibbs, where are the stamps?
I don't know, I tell you. This is all new to me. I had no idea there was a false bottom in that safe.
Oh, come on, Hibbs. You can't expect us to swallow that.
Well, it's true, so help me.
And why were you so desperate to get your hands on the samovar?
Oh, I can explain that if you'll only listen. It was because of the detective.
Detective?
Oh, a private investigator I know. He came around to my shop this morning making a routine checkup, saying he was looking for this samovar. I remembered seeing one like it last night over at the Harbor Gallery.
But that must have been the man I hired.
Then I got to thinking about it. The detective said a rich woman was trying to recover it at any cost. Naturally, I concluded it must be valuable, so I tried to get it. That's all.
You don't expect us to believe that, do you?
You mean to say you were so anxious to get it by that time that you stole it when you found you couldn't outbid Miss Burridge? Now, how did you expect to get any money for it?
I was going to sell it back to the original owner for all the traffic would bear. I thought I might get 100 or so. I didn't know this young lady was acting for the owner. How could I?
Well, I don't care about all that. I simply want my stamps back.
I haven't got them. If I had, I'd give them to you.
You're lying, Hibbs.
We're not getting anywhere with him, Miss Whitfield. You'll have to let the police handle it.
Oh, dear. Policemen terrify me.
Well, it's the only way, Miss Whitfield.
Oh, of course, my dear. You're right. Robert.
Yes, madam.
Will you have the police authorities come and question this person?
Immediately, madam.
But I didn't take them, I tell you.
I'm sorry to have to do this, Mr. Hibbs. If you only hadn't been so obstinate.
Well, don't worry, Miss Whitfield. The police will make him tell the truth.
Inza, my dear, I appreciate your staying here with me all day.
I was glad to, Miss Whitfield. You seem so upset.
Oh, I am, my dear. It's simply dreadful. Who can this be?
Probably Frank and Bart. They promised to stop by for me when they got off duty. Shall I answer?
No. Robert is taking care of it.
I was right. It is Frank and Bart.
Hello, Esther. Miss Whitfield.
We came right from the beach. What's the news?
Yes, has there been any report from the police?
Well, nothing encouraging. That little man, what's his name?
Mr. Hibbs. Yes. The police couldn't get him to change his story at all.
I didn't think they could.
Well, I should think they'd be able to trap him in a lie like that.
I'm not so sure it is a lie, Bart.
What do you mean, Frank? Surely you don't believe his story.
Well, that's just the trouble. Nobody believes him, and so we're not getting anywhere. But think it over. In a way, it's a perfectly reasonable story.
Yeah, if you look at it that way, I guess you're right. Well, where does that leave us?
With a number of very promising suspects. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody removed the stamps before Hibbs got his hands on the samovar. Assuming, of course, he is telling the truth.
But how does that help us, Frank?
Who are the suspects, for instance?
Allenby, the decorator, for one.
Oh, no.
Now, he insisted on the samovar being sold, remember? And he had ample time to remove the stamps before it was taken from the house.
Sure. Then the jobber who actually removed the samovar and took it to the auction gallery.
Right, Bart. And lastly, Benson, the auctioneer.
A pretty bewildering away, if you ask me. Now, where do we start?
Well, I'd like to start with Allenby, but he's on that fishing trip.
Oh, but Mr. Allenby will return tomorrow morning.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes, indeed. His office told me. He's coming over here at 10 in the morning to make his final inspection.
Good. We'll take care of him then. In the meantime, we'll make another call.
Where now, Frank?
Back to our good friend, Mr. Benson, at the Harbor Auction Gallery.
You'll have to make it fast, folks. I'm closing the gallery for the evening.
Now, this will only take a minute, Mr. Benson. We'll come right to the point. How much do you know about the secret compartment in the samovar?
Secret compartment? What kind of talk is that?
Frank means there was something of value hidden in that samovar you sold.
Right, and we know that someone who handled it must have stolen it. Now, what about the jobber who delivered it to you?
Oh, Mike? Oh, no, you're barking up the wrong tree there.
Well, how can you be sure, Mr. Benson?
Well, because I drove Mike out to the Whitfield place myself. He went in, carried out the stuff, and I took charge of it from then on. Well, Mike couldn't have stolen anything from the samovar because he was never alone with it.
But you were, Mr. Benson.
Now, look here. That sounds like an accusation, young fella.
Not necessarily. But the fact remains you had plenty of opportunity to open the secret compartment and hide its contents before you put the samovar on the auction block.
Except for one little detail.
What's that?
I didn't know about the compartment, and I still don't know what was stolen from it.
That's your story, is it?
That's my story, and I'll add a word of advice to it. If you're trying to pin this thing on me, you're wasting your time. I have nothing to do with it.
In that case, Mr. Benson, I know you'll cooperate with us to help find the man who did.
After all, you are involved in this as much as anyone. You're the one who sold the samovar at auction.
Of course, I'll cooperate in any way I can, but don't forget, I have a business to take care of here.
You're not open in the mornings, are you?
Well, not until noon. Why?
Then I'd appreciate it if you showed up at Miss Whitfield's house tomorrow morning at 10. We're planning a little showdown for then.
Tomorrow at 10. I'll be there.
Thanks. I knew you would. Good night, Mr. Benson.
Good night.
Do you believe him, Frank?
Well,
I don't. Especially that story about the jobber. It's too pat.
Well, he did seem rather anxious to protect him for some reason.
What are you going
to
do at that meeting anyhow, Frank? We won't know any more then than we do right now. That's nothing.
Yes, Frank. It's going to look terribly silly if we call the meeting and nothing at all develops.
I know. I'm worried about that, but we've done all we can now. We'll just have to show up at that meeting and pray that something turns up.
Last. When are we going to get this nonsense over with, Merriweather?
Right away, Mr. Benson.
Mr. Allenby, madam.
Oh, do come in, Mr. Allenby.
Miss Whitfield, what is all this drivel about that wretched samovar? I understand I'm as good as accused of theft.
Oh, dear me, no, Mr. Allenby.
No one has been accused yet, Mr. Allenby.
Except me. I spent the whole night in jail, don't forget that.
You should be grateful to Miss Burrage for not pressing the hold-up charge against you, Hibbs.
Oh, I am, believe me. But I want to clear myself of this other charge.
You'll have plenty of opportunity for that. And now that you're all here, let's get to the bottom of this.
Oh, the whole thing's ridiculous. How can you accuse me of stealing something I didn't even know existed?
We can't. If you're telling the truth.
Really, a thing like this could ruin my reputation. I don't want anything to do with it.
Well, that's too bad, Mr. Allenby. You are involved in this as much as the others.
Involved? How on earth could I be involved?
You were the one who demanded Miss Whitfield dispose of the samovar.
Of course I did, and I do it again. It's a monstrosity.
You also had ample opportunity to open the secret compartment before it was turned over to the jobber.
Ridiculous. I never knew such a compartment existed.
As far as you know, Miss Whitfield, is that true?
Well, frankly, I don't see how he could have known. I certainly never knew it. You know, Douglas never confides in anyone.
All right, Mr. Allenby. But how much do you know about fourpenny red?
Huh? My good fellow, you'll have to speak a good deal more plainly than that. I haven't the remotest idea what you're talking about. Anyway, what's that got to do with this case?
How about you, Mr. Benson? Are you familiar with these fourpenny reds?
What are they? Some kind of chicken?
Maybe you'd like to tell him, Miss Whitfield.
Yeah, I'm afraid I wouldn't have the slightest idea.
If you'll permit me, madam.
Oh, yes, Robert.
If I may remind you, fourpenny reds are stamps.
Oh.
And very valuable ones, some of them.
Stamps? Oh, well, then that explains it. I know nothing about stamps, except for mailing things, of course.
But, Miss Whitfield, surely your brother must have mentioned these fourpenny reds to you at one time or another.
I see you don't know Douglas very well. But, of course, you don't. How could you? No, he never bothered to talk to me about his stamps. Why, he never even mentioned they were hidden in the samovar. Goodness knows, if he had, there never would have been all this trouble and mess.
Well, that's strange. Are you sure he didn't even mention them the other night over the phone?
No. He was so excited, all he could do was splutter about getting back to samovar. No, if you really want to know about those Rhode Island reds, you ought to ask Robert.
Why? Robert, are you a stamp collector, too?
Oh, no, sir. Oh, it's just that sometimes the master talked to me about them. I suppose for lack of anyone else to share his interest. So I picked up a little knowledge, you see, but I've never been what you'd call a collector.
Never? Robert, I think you've become a collector just lately. Miss Whitfield, we've found our thief.
We have? Dear me, where? Who?
You're looking right at him. It's Robert.
I? You're mad.
Oh, Frank, you must be mistaken. Not Robert. It couldn't be.
He's the only logical one, Miss Whitfield. I believe these other gentlemen when they say they never heard of fourpenny reds. Only an expert such as your brother could identify them or appreciate their value. And by his own admission, Roberts is the only one your brother took into his confidence about those fourpenny reds.
This is preposterous.
Now, you knew all about your master's prize collection. And you had a longer and a better opportunity than anyone else here to learn of his secret hiding place for those stamps.
But you can't prove I took the fourpenny reds.
But we can, Roberts. I've just remembered one thing that proves it conclusively. Bart, you better go for the police.
Right away.
If you sold the stamps, Roberts, they can be traced. And if you still have them on you, a search should reveal them.
Oh, no, you don't. I'm getting out of here.
Oh, Robert!
Get him off, Bart. Right.
Let's go.
I'll get you,
Robert.
Bart, look out. He's got a gun.
Not this time, Robert.
That takes care of Robert. You better go for the police now. We've got your thief, Miss Whitfield.
Robert! Oh, dear. How can I ever explain it to Douglas? Oh, my. I think I'm going to say.
Thanks for bringing our lunch down to us, Inza.
Sure hits the spot.
Miss Whitfield fixed it for you, Bart. She thought it was the least she could do.
Oh, she shouldn't have bothered. We were glad to help her.
Oh, you heard the confession, Frank. What did Robert say?
Well, what could he say? When the police searched him, they found all the missing stamps concealed in the case of his watch.
What I don't understand, Frank, is how he ever decided to steal them.
Well, according to his story, Bart, he wanted them for a long time, but never dared take them for fear of being suspected.
Oh. Well, I can see that all right. He was the only other person that knew where they were.
Exactly. But when he saw the samovar listed to be sold, he saw his chance. And once the samovar was out of the house, nearly anyone who handled it could be guilty of stealing the stamps.
But how did you know it was Robert, Frank? You told him that one thing proved it conclusively.
I remembered something he said when we first returned the samovar. He was the only person who could tell us exactly which stamps had been stolen. Now, even Miss Whitfield didn't know that then. All she knew was what her brother told her over the phone, that some valuable stamps were in the samovar. Then when we found out that Mr. Whitfield used to talk stamps to Robert, I was sure.
Well, I'm glad you were able to get them back. I felt so sorry for poor Miss Whitfield.
You ought to feel grateful to her, Inza.
Grateful? Why, boy?
Well, she gave you a chance to do something most women only dream of. She actually sent you to an auction to outbid everybody for something you never wanted in the first place.
Exciting adventure with Frank Merriwell, beloved hero of American fiction, brought to you in a new series of stories by the National Broadcasting Company. And be sure to listen again next week at this same time when Frank Merriwell returns with another exciting adventure. Frank is played by Lawson Zerbe, Bart is Hal Studer, and Inza is Elaine Roth. Other members of the cast were Kermit Murdoch, Don Briggs, Burford Hampton, Whit Vernon, and Miss Ethel Browning. Original music is by Paul Taubman. The Adventures of Frank Merriwell is written by Ruth and Gilbert Braun and William Welch. And the entire production is under the direction of Jack Cuny. Be sure to meet the Meeks 1/2 hour from now and keep tuned now for The Adventures of Archie Andrews, heard over most of these NBC stations. This is Mel Brandt speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
From July 24, 1948, Sold at Auction, an episode of The Adventures of Frank Merriwell. If there are other old-time radio programs you remember and would like to hear again, or if you just want to talk about old-time radio in general, drop me a note at Dan, D-A-N, at radiofun.info. Thanks for listening. In the Old-Time Radio Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.